Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show here on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Fred, and now Chris Plainshirt Woodward.
Hello.
Joins us. Good morning, Brother Chris.
Good morning. How you doing? It's been a kind of a plain day, but, you know,
yeah,
we're getting there.
It can get brighter.
Yeah.
So you're going over to the event, too, at Ole Miss.
Yes,
with
sir.
Vice President Vance and Erica.
And many others,
Kirk.
Yeah.
Kirk.
We're going to be, we're going over there, myself and another guy from the newsroom, somebody from The Stand, formerly known as the AFA Journal, will be driving over there.
Now, I think Fox News is carrying this live.
Yes.
Yes.
They do plan to, Jesse Waters is going to do a show from there.
This afternoon, it's going to be starting, I think, at 5 o'clock Central Time. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
I'm going to go. I'll be there, too.
Yes, we're leaving super early because doors open at 3, and for those that have never had the benefit of visiting Oxford, which I do highly recommend, it is a small town with a large university, and thousands of more people are going to be coming into town today.
Yeah.
So we're going to beat the traffic, we say.
Yeah, so if you don't know what we're talking about this afternoon, Turning Point USA is bringing their event to the University of Mississippi, a.k.a. Ole Miss, in Oxford, and this is part of their national tour that was scheduled prior to Charlie Kirk's death. And so this Charlie Kirk would have been here when I say here, Ole Miss is an hour from where we are, our studios. So that was already pre-planned as part of his national tour. So but it's going to be at the basketball arena there, the pavilion at Ole Miss, so they're expecting 10,000 people. So that's going to be pretty amazing. And it's been sold out, although their tickets aren't for sale, but you had to ask for the tickets online, and they've been out of those. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
All right, so back to monkeys missing in Mississippi, or missing monkeys in Mississippi, as promised. That's the next story we have.
That was a Lifetime series, wasn't it?
A Lifetime. Do they have a Lifetime series?
They got the Lifetime series on.
Harry Baxter Bernie was in it, yes. Yeah.
Lifetime movies. I've seen those. And I know within 5 minutes who you can't trust. Okay? You can't trust the boyfriend.
So, monkeys missing in Mississippi. Okay, sorry, I got us.
All right, Fred's going to tell us about this story. Fred,
Wait. I think we have an introductory tune, don't we?
I tell you what, I'm going to play that in just a moment.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Well, here's the headline from the Daily Mail on this story. Aggressive, disease-ridden monkey on the loose after escaping when truck carrying primates crashed. All right.
This is a true story.
This is a true story. A truckload of research monkeys was being shipped from A Point to Tulane University in Louisiana. It looks like they were moving along Interstate 20. And about, I think it's, it was west of Jackson, Mississippi, a couple hours west of Jackson, Mississippi, the truck overturned. We hope the driver is okay. Some of the monkeys remained, I guess, in their cages. Some of them got loose. The Sheriff's Department, Jasper County Sheriff's Department, killed some of the monkeys that got loose. But one of the monkeys escaped. Now, according to the Sheriff's Office, the monkeys, they're research monkeys, rhesus monkeys, I believe it is. These monkeys are carrying hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID. All right?
That ain't funny.
That's not funny. As far as we know, there is this one monkey that escaped.
Yeah, that is funny.
One monkey escaped. The Jasper County Sheriff's Department.
Like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it?
Sheriff's Department is saying, if you see the monkey, do not go near. Do not try to embrace it.
Right.
Even if the monkey's curious.
Right. And it may be cute.
Yes.
But the monkey's a disease-ridden monkey, right?
And aggressive.
Yes. And aggressive. Yeah. All right. So that's the story.
Yeah. Okay. So we have a monkey on the loose, or a monkey missing in Mississippi. And has it been found?
As far as we know.
As of this hour.
As of this hour.
So it may show up over at Ole Miss this afternoon.
A lot of people don't know that in the book of Ezekiel, one of the signs of the end was aggressive and disease-ridden monkeys. When I first heard this story, I'll tell you two quick things. One thing was I thought, with everything else that's going on,
right,
we're going to throw aggressive, disease-ridden monkeys that we now got to watch out for. Yeah. We got to watch out for fraud and your bank account getting drained. And now we got to watch out for aggressive monkeys. The other thing I wanted to say about this, because this is here in Mississippi where these monkeys.
It could be coming near us. We don't know.
Yeah. My wife and I have been married for over 44 years. We hardly ever have arguments about anything. But one of the things we do argue about is that she says, and some of our listeners, I'm going to split our listening audience right here.
Okay.
My wife says when she was in the sixth grade, her and some friends and cousins were walking out in the woods and they saw a black panther. Okay. And when she told me that, first time she told me that, I said, come on. And I looked it up, and there is no breeding population of black panthers. Cougars is what we'd normally call it, but they can come in the black color. And I looked it up, and I showed it to her, and she said, I don't care. I've seen it. And then she'll post something on Facebook just to get me in trouble. And then other people say, I've seen it too. Ed, are you calling me a liar? So I suggested, we can all rest easy because the Black Panthers will probably eat these monkeys and we won't have to worry about it.
The Black Panthers in Mississippi.
In Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
But that didn't really go over well.
I have a similar story from my childhood. When I was a kid, my dad and stepmom got into camping. And we were camping in the Aberdeen area, not far from Tupelo, where we're sitting here. And there were some times where my brother and stepbrother and I, we would go out and kind of go off into the woods and explore. And I remember we had found like an underwater spring, we would go there every time our parents wanted to camp there or whatever. So we're going in this underground spring area to get bottles of the water or whatever. And I remember we were standing there and we heard a noise, and I looked and I saw a peacock. And I don't know if it was my brother or my stepbrother, but they went, do you see a peacock too? And right then I knew I wasn't like hallucinating. But so I saw a peacock in the woods in Aberdeen, Mississippi. Yes.
A peacock.
Was it aggressive?
No. I didn't get near it. It may or may not have had COVID. I don't know. But
anyway. You know, I'm going to tell you another animal that is out there that a lot of people don't believe in, and that's snipes.
Yes, absolutely.
You really have to hunt those down.
I was taking snipe hunting when I was a cub.
Snipe hunting.
Yeah. The cub master or whoever, whatever the name, it was Cub Scouts.
Yeah.
And they took us snipe hunting. Of course
they did.
And they told us to take off our shirts. I'm serious.
Now, we don't need to give anything away about what snipes look like.
No, we don't want it because other people made to go snipe.
Yeah.
Take off our shirts. And hold those shirts open and wait on. And one of my friends had a pillowcase.
And you got to bang sticks.
Pillowcase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah. Anyway, that was it was an eventful and an uneventful night.
Yes.
At the same time. Anyway, I've been waiting for an excuse to play this song. And this is Monkeys in Missing in Mississippi brought this song to mind. So I think we'll spin that record right now.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing.
That's what I'm talking about. Is there any catchier tune than that right there?
I got that on my Spotify playlist.
Yeah.
I do. I love that song.
That's the theme song from the Monkees TV show from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Fun fact. Neil Diamond, one of my favorite entertainers.
Yeah, wrote that?
He wrote at least four Monkey songs. I'm a Believer, a little bit me, a little
Daydream
bit
Daydream Believer.
Look Out, Here Comes Tomorrow.
Cheer Up, Sleepy Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, What Does It Mean?
Yeah.
It's a great song.
I think half the songs in American pop songs have no meaning whatsoever. They just have words that rhyme. Well,
and they're snappy.
And they're snappy, and nobody cares what they really mean.
Right? I saw a quote one time from Robin Williams, and he said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't really living them. So that might explain nonsensical lyrics among some groups back in the 60s.
All right, you're listening to today's.
All right, Fred, you are
Fred.
Now relieved,
you're dismissed, sir. Fred. Hey, yes. But if you, Fred, if you need to come back in here, if you got an update on the monkey missing in Mississippi, you come back in here and let us know about it.
All right, okay. Let's know if there's breaking news on the monkey.
All right, you're listening to today's issues. Chris, over to you.
Many moons ago, President Tim Wilson.
M-A-M. You hear what he did right there?
Yeah, there you go.
He's kept with the M theme.
Yeah.
Many moons ago. Okay, go ahead.
President Tim Wildman issued an executive order for me to bring in some positive news on occasion.
Yes, we need some happy news.
I have done that, sir.
Okay.
I have a story here, which we've been covering on AFN.net, so keep a check on our website for this update that I'm about to read. There's a Colorado high school student who challenged her school's ban on religious designs for senior parking spaces. She's now going to be allowed to repaint her space to reflect her Christian faith. This story begins in August when a student named Sophia Shoemaker, a senior at Rampart High School in Colorado Springs Academy School District 20, she requested permission to decorate her paid parking space with a design illustrating Jesus and his parable of the lost sheep. The school has a tradition of allowing seniors to reserve and pay for their own parking space and decorate it with school-approved work. She had a design that featured a shepherd, a staff, and sheep, along with a reference to the Bible verse 1 Corinthians 13:4, but school administrators, as they often do, rejected it, citing a district policy prohibiting religious imagery, so she lawyered up with our friends at First Liberty Institute. They had a back and forth that involved letters and phone calls, and as a result of her teaming up with First Liberty, this Colorado teen is going to be able to have Jesus in her parking space.
Well, we've talked about many times on this show. We've had Abraham Hamilton III on here talking about Jenna Ellis, the constitutional attorney. Schools are not allowed to demonstrate hostility towards religion. That's why Christian students can wear Christian if everyone's allowed to wear a T-shirt with a political message on it, or even your favorite ball team, you cannot show hostility to religion and say, well, Christians can't. We're making an exception out of them. Same thing with carrying your Bible, talking to kids during non-instructional time about your faith. All that is allowed. And this deal in Colorado, this school district was making a special case out of Christianity when other school districts were not doing that. Yeah. In Colorado, this was a sure loser for this school system, and I'm glad that case has been resolved in favor of this Christian student.
Good for her. And our friends at First Liberty, they're a law firm in the Dallas area that defends Christians' First Amendment freedoms across the country when challenged. Also, I would say about this, when did painting your parking space at high school when you're a senior become a thing?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely within this century because I graduated in this century, and we didn't have this option at my high school. I'm not bitter. Nor did we have the option to pay for a parking space. That was new to me as well, but it's fairly recent.
When I was going to school, most seniors did not even drive to school. Most of us took a bus.
That's sad.
It just was the way it was. I mean, my family had two cars, but my dad took his to work, and my mom needed hers. She was a homemaker, and, you know, she had to go to the store. And so there was no way I was going to say, hey, can I have the car and go to school with it? We just didn't have it. Yeah. I mean, and most of the kids I grew up with, kids didn't have cars.
Yeah.
You borrowed. On the rare occasion that I had a date, I had to borrow the family car.
Yeah. Do you remember your bus number?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't.
Mine was bus 17. I remember that because when I stepped off, they wrote it in my arm like a prison tattoo.
I had the only thing I remember about any kind of senior privileges was trying to think. I know the girls wore senior jerseys.
Yeah, that's a thing. It's still around.
The senior skip days, there was a few things few bones they threw our way, but mostly the man kept us down.
Yeah. You learned a lot of life lessons
man,
on that bus, though.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, that but was, I just remember the girls had 81. That's the year I graduated. Everybody had 81.
I went to an all-boys Catholic high school, so talking
no
about,
girls at all?
No girls
That's
at
all
except
mean?
We did have some nuns, and then the ladies working, who were the lunch ladies. That was it. until 3 o'clock, and you got off. But in terms of the principal keeping you down, Father John, I remember seeing him slap a student right in the face who was mouthing off to him. Yeah. So you didn't mess around.
That's old school
with
there.
The Brothers of the Sacred Heart, man.
You do that now and you end up on some On Your Side investigates local TV news reporter with the and every kid's got a phone video. Yes. The
so
video
the priest the, just slapped a kid across the face?
He wasn't a priest, but he had the, you know, the long cloak.
Yeah.
A priest is someone who can say mass.
That's what's missing in America today.
But he was a father, and he.
Man, you mean go into an all boys high school? I know there are a lot of those in up north, maybe different. So how did y'all have dances with the girls?
Well, we with the girls' school. Yeah. Okay. Now it's co-ed now, of course. Probably 10 years after I left and I graduated in 76, they went co-ed, and that was no. And I think I told the story earlier this week, maybe on Monday, about the French teacher. It was a young woman who just graduated from college. And she was
a hottie.
She was so beautiful. I went home and told my dad, I think I'm going to start taking French. And my dad would have this way of looking at me in this, are you crazy? Why? I'd already taken 2 years of Spanish. And he finally wrung it out of me that there was a good-looking French teacher. And he might have slapped me in the back of the head and said, no, you're taking Spanish.
All right. Yeah, all right. Next story.
I also took French and don't use any of it in where I live. But anyway, here's...
But it made you a better person.
It did. It did.
Chris,
it expanded
your horizons.
Trey Magnifique.
Those are the answers I got when asked, why am I taking trigonometry?
Yes.
Where am I going to use this?
There's a reason I have a BA in communication, sir.
Expand your brain.
Positive story number two.
Uh-huh.
This is from the Daily Mail, and I'll post it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. There is a world's first breath test to detect pancreatic cancer, which researchers think may save thousands of lives. It's being referred to as the biggest breakthrough in 50 years. This is over in the UK. It will be trialed among about 6,000 patients across 40 sites in England, Wales, and Scotland. Some people might think, well, it's England. It won't impact me. What happens in other parts of the world, if it proves effective, does tend to make its way across the pond, so to speak.
And pancreatic cancer is a cold stone killer. If you don't catch that early, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Or to be able to take preventative steps, it is very dangerous. And so if this is a real thing that works, that is when I say it's a godsend, I mean that literally.
Yeah. I found that story on Daily Mail. We can put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
I just did it for you.
But, you know, you read a lot about research as hopeful on this, that, or the other, or studies find this, that, or the other, which, you know, to treat diseases, including cancer. This one, I thought, this sounded very promising when I read about it because, and who knows, we may be three years away from, coming to our shores, so to speak, or maybe longer. Who knows how long it'll take to pass the rigorous, testing that has to be done to get approval to use as a, but it's a preventative measure.
Mm-hmm.
You breathe into a machine, right?
Yes. It's a device similar to what you might see a law enforcement officer ask somebody to blow into on the side of a road.
That may determine that you have maybe pancreatic cancer at an early, that would be, you're right. If you don't catch that at an early stage, it's pretty lethal.
Yeah.
Talking about pancreatic cancer. But also, Fred was telling me yesterday, Fred Jackson, he's not in here any longer in the studio, but he was telling me he's been reading about AI.
Mm-hmm.
And AI is, while it's dangerous and we reported on the dangers of, also it's going to be potentially used for really good things in terms of cancer prevention, AI, and cancer treatment coming up. So... Yeah. I know that There are two things that I personally have looked into that I haven't done yet, but, you know, I've talked about my wife, Allison. She got Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right.
Like, I don't know when it was, 3 years ago, I guess it was. And she had chemotherapy, which made it go away. It's a blood cancer.
Right.
And then it came back, and then she had a stem cell transplant, which can only be used to treat blood cancers like leukemia and lymphoma and things of that nature. Anyway, praise God, she's been cured.
Yeah.
Healed.
Amen.
Healed from her cancer. Thank the Lord God, first of all, but then also the stem cell transplant. So I bring that up to say this. When that happened to her, and we all have friends and family members who've gotten cancer, mm-hmm. and you go, well, you know, it's always a question of, did they catch it soon enough to treat it, right? To give you a chance.
Right.
Right. You can go and get two things that I considered that I have not done, and I'm not advocating people do this. Okay. Everybody has to make their own decisions. You can get a scan done.
Full body scan.
You have to pay for it, like $2,500 or something, but you can go. It's only in big cities. You can find it. You can get a scan to determine whether you have cancer
mm-hmm.
without having any symptoms.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you can also get a blood test done that does the same type thing. Now, the downside of that is, I haven't done it yet. I've considered it, but I had a doctor tell me, well, the downside of that is you can chase rabbits.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about getting a cancer scan or a blood test for cancer, without having any symptoms whatsoever, then you could, somebody could, like, then you get a, well, you got this,
false
and maybe this is this, and there's a shadow over here, and we need to have a, anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And it's a snapshot in time.
Yeah.
So the fact that you have it on the test on a Wednesday doesn't mean that,
I know.
3 months later you might not.
Correct. But they probably will develop something in the very near future involving AI where you can have a snapshot of that will not be radiation
yeah.
or not be so subjective, maybe.
Yeah. That's why I think people need to be somewhat open-minded when it comes to AI. It is an amoral thing,
Chris,
that people might use for immoral reasons.
Are you open-minded, Ed?
Generally speaking,
well,
except for the part of AI where they, you know, robots take over
right.
the world.
Right. That's why people are freaking out about it. It's like nuclear power. It's very beneficial.
Yes.
You might also blow up. So some people tend to fall on the, well, I don't want it at all because I might be harmed by it. But AI does seem to be providing some benefits. What's interesting here is you mentioned, you know, $2,500 for the test. Yes, that is a lot of money. It might be difficult to come up with that. But if you were to able to scratch up $2,500, that might save you the equivalent of a mortgage in medical bills.
Yeah.
If they do find out that you have it, and then you have to go through all kinds of things.
Now you're going to make me want to get it, Chris. See,
well,
right there.
My sister, she won that as a door prize at a banquet for her where she worked.
Yeah.
And she got the full body scan, and they did find something.
And
she had some treatment, but it was way early.
Okay, so now go get it.
I just confused you.
I'm just kidding. You can't make your mind up on...
Not on national radio.
No, not on emotions of the moment.
Right.
Now, we used to worry about getting invaded by zombies. Remember when that was a thing?
I never worried about that.
Okay, but now you're telling me robots. AI will mean robots are going to take over, right?
I don't think that's going to happen, but it does make for good stories.
All right. Have a good afternoon, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.